Good morning. Word for you that you all could join us this morning in the rain. It's wonderful to see you all. All right, if we're going to read a passage from Philippians 2, verses 1 through 12. If there is any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation from love, if any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord on one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard another as better than yourself. Let each of you not look into your own interests, but in the interest of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who through he was in the form of God, who did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born into human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, death on the cross. Therefore, God Almighty has exalted him and gave him the name above all names, so that in the name of Jesus every knee shall bend in heaven and on earth, under earth, that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, for the glory of the Father, for God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, it is not in my presence, but much more now in my absence. Work out your salvation through fear and trembling. First thing is, I would like to look at the beginning of the passage there, and it particularly talks about concepts of unity. For if there is any comfort in Christ, do we find value? Do we find healing in Christ? Do we find any consolation in love? Do we find comfort and love in the community? Are we participating in the Spirit? Are we participating in the story of God? If there's any compassion and mercy, is there being any mercy or compassion being bestowed upon us by the community? See, all these things here are suggesting unity. If we are all in agreement of these things, then there must be something in common or amongst us to get together to not have any arguments if we are all in agreement. If we are all practicing these things, then there's no issue amongst us. This reminds me of a little story. And back in 2012, at the end of the year, I was wanting to go on a mission trip to the Dominican Republic. And when we were at the Dominican Republic, we were working on getting together, knowing each other, our teams. I'm from upstate New York, and so the upstate New York district youth were taking a trip. And we got to know each other a little bit here and there, and as we continued on, there created more unity amongst the group. We began to learn each other's strengths and weaknesses amongst us, and we began to grow. We began to grow as a group, and eventually we got to the Dominican Republic, and a lot of unity was there between us. And one of the cool things is we did several things, such as the Jesus team we created, Jesus film, we were a part of that, and we created some unity amongst us and grew. One of the cool things about that project is in the midst of there was a situation where the cement rock thing was broken, and so one of the people were really handy, and so he decided, oh, let's try a gum wrapper to see if we can fix the cement mixer. Well, it worked. It was kind of a cool little thing that worked. And we, as we continued, even to this day, the people in the group were really good friends and have continued to grow. Even though some of them now live in Kansas, some of them are in the military, some of them are all over the place, and some of them are still, they're now in college as well. It was a cool trip. You see, we are all having the same mind and same goal and purpose. We have the same love for each other and that we were being united in Christ. We have the same goal, to be one body, to be as a community together in this specific trip. It was cool, and we had became united because of Christ. I don't think we ever really would have interacted had it not been for the church. You see, the only thing that stops this unity is selfish ambitions and empty consent. It's a particular thing when we decide to take our egos and to take our self-interest out in front of what is best for the community, what is best for each other, and we consider ourselves above each other. You see, we shouldn't be looking out for our own interests, but for the community. The community in the sense of we should be looking for the unity in which the compassion and the mercy and the love and the comfort we find in Christ should all be above our own interests and our own egos. I think we can all think of a situation where we have decided to take our own interest in front of the communities or particular groups. One thing, an example I can think of is, so when I was in about second grade, my brother had, and I had gotten a pixie stick from one of those really big ones, like those 2 foot long ones or whatever. And we were kind of just messing around. We came home from Sunday church and my parents had asked us to work on like being quiet because they were trying to work on supper, and we were being really loud, and I was hitting him with a pixie stick, of course, as a second grader, and going back and forth, and before we know it, we were upstairs, he comes chasing me downstairs, and before we know it, we run downstairs, and we have one of those like doors that have about 12 panes on it, and before you know it, I shut the door, and his arms go right through the windows. And so my own self-interest of wanting to mess around with my brother resulted in my family, of course, having a medical situation. So we then proceeded to take care of that. And so after that, my mom had said, see, if you had been listening to what I had told you, we wouldn't have had this situation. And obviously in a much more loving way than exactly that. But you see, I learned that it wasn't for my self-interest that had created the problem. It had been something that had done, that created hurt in the family. You see, Christ and then had proceeded to empty himself, to become human. He rejected the will to want power. He had so many opportunities and tempted to take power, to take control. But he chose not to. He decided to empty himself and become human, decided to be and dwell with us, dwell specifically with the least of these in the community. You see, in the proceeding, there's a beautiful hymn of telling us who Jesus is. Jesus is telling us on who he is. He's telling us that he is God as well as fully human. You see, this is a beautiful thing, that God dwells with us and is incarnate with us. He even decides to take the point of death, humiliation, to go to the cross. You see, this tells us that in order for the exaltation of Christ to even occur, we must go down and serve and be with the least of these before we can be exalted. You see, this is a picture of whether or not we, through all this serving and growing and becoming more in the unity, through the unity of Christ, becoming more in the image of Christ. And then as it continues, it talks about on whether or not we, if we, when humanity, when Christ bow, that all bow and all will be confess that Jesus is Lord. You see, this is a present thing as well as a futuristic thing, something that will happen at the last days, that all will continue to confess that Christ is Lord. Some, however, will not do this so joyfully. You see, this is a call all for all to be in the image of Christ. This means that we are all to be self-giving love and emptying towards another. This involves becoming more into what Christ has done for us, and also living more in the lifestyle in which Christ has called us to be. You see, this also reminds me of a situation where my brother and this gentleman named Mr. Mooney, my brother had eventually had some conversations at the church that I had grown up at, and there was a coffee shop, and in the coffee shop, he had kind of getting to know some people, whatever, and they had started having conversations, and before you know it, a gentleman had asked him to see if he could do some yard work. And before he had known a couple people, he had recommended him because he had done some late work. And he had met this gentleman by the name of Mr. Mooney. He was in his middle to late 80s. This was about 5 years ago. And Mr. Mooney had one of his few things in the community involvement and interacting with culture was he particularly loved the antiques and interacting with them and learning about them and selling them and buying them. And so he had asked my brother to work with him. And Mr. Mooney also had, his wife was housebound. She was in a wheelchair. And so my brother had continued to grow to get to know Mr. Mooney. Mr. Mooney, and then he was working for him, but he oftentimes invited John to go for lunch, and they would hang out and get to know each other. John would, of course, listen to him because he had very little social interaction. My brother then began to grow and learn about Mr. Mooney. And one thing in particular is he got to meet his wife, which his wife had not really been outside the house, it sounded like, for about 20 years. She had been in the house and had been stuck because it was difficult for him to move her out of the house and to do things with her. As he continued, my brother interacted and met him and interacted with her and began to grow. And before we knew it, she had had an infection, and my brother had suggested that he take her to the doctor. It actually resulted in saving her life for an extra week. She had passed later on, and my brother and him continued to grow, and I've become friends. My brother was his crutch oftentimes that he leaned on. He then continued to interact with him and becoming one thing in particular, his son hadn't really interacted with the family for about, it sounded like a couple years. And one thing is my brother got talking to him about, and eventually Mr. Mooney reached out to his son, and their community had, or also known as their family, had some reconciliation, and his son actually golfs with his father every once a week now. So this was a huge part of growing for my brother, because this is also where he discovered his passion for social work, and is actually where he is studying the school to become. You see, this relationship also guided and helped and formed the community. There was unity, and there was self-giving love that my brother had to give of time. A lot of it was obviously, a lot of it was unpaid, and he just wanted to get to know him as a person. And this also sounds a lot like this church. Real Life Community Church was not looking for power or looking for numbers when they decided to plant Blackman Community. You see, Blackman Community was formed out of the rejection of wanting high numbers and power. This is a blessing because Real Life showed an example of what it means to be self-emptying love. This is a place where, in Blackman particularly for me, as well as probably many other college students, you can probably say this as well, is a place that was supported, and we have been supported and given space to be, one, college students, as well as an opportunity to serve in a community that oftentimes many churches have rejected or given the opportunity for college students to participate in. See, this is a continuing shaping. You see, and we even see this in our mission statement of love, sharing, and sending. You see, we're called to love just as Christ has loved, a sacrificial love. We're called to share of our experience with this self-sacrificial love between the community and what Christ has done for us. And this results oftentimes of us sending or emptying out of our pride and what we have done, as well as the experience, and sending out to the community. And this isn't intended to be something that's just for us. It's intended to be something that we give, something that we go into the communities and interact with, participate in communities so we can continue to be filled by Christ and emptying out the love that Christ has given us into the community. You see, we work out our salvation because what Christ has already done is a consistent ongoing effort, a consistent loving, sharing, and sending. You see, we work out as a community as well as the individual. We work out this as a community and learning to become more like Christ and being sacrificial love in the community as well as the individual of continuing to grow and to become more like Christ. In the community, we do that as well by giving and sharing our talents, our community, and loving and sharing and sending. This also means we have to be held accountable. We have to be called out by the people that we have decided and that we have been in unity with, decided that we have become community with and have shaped us and formed us. We also, because of this accountability, we are willing to take a slight, not necessarily partially criticism, but also to the point of like saying, hey, like I know you could do this better, and this, in a very loving way of saying, I see that you're not, you're deciding to take power for yourself, or you're deciding to take advantage or do something for yourself instead of what's best in the within the call of Christ and becoming more like Christ. We call people out because we love them, not because it's intended to be something that was in the way. So I want you guys to reflect on something that you can interact or someone you can interact with and give sacrificial love this week. So as this week, as you go on, I continue to ask you to find places where you can interact with others to share the love of Christ and to work to become more like Christ within the community and the unity that Christ has called us to be in. As I said, I send you guys to have a good week and to be blessed by what Christ has called us to be and the self-emptying love that Christ has given us, and that we may embody this practice in the community. Have a good week.
Rumors of the Son of Man, stories of the Savior, holiness with human hands, treasure for the traitor, no ear.